Your Majesty, Your Royal Highness, my dear colleague Mayor of Amsterdam, Halsema, ladies and gentlemen, I'm so honored and grateful for this invitation and providing an insight of the city of Florence that I used to consider the smallest global city in the world. Its beauty and complexity is always a responsibility I undertake with deep gratitude to my citizens, who are sometimes such polemics, but this is our tradition of wealthy and Ghibellini city. And I would like to start with a general reflection. We faced a pandemic for 2 years, and when we thought we could control a virus, human nature decided for a dismaying turnout. Little we knew at the end of last year that in the last 5 months we would have dealt with the appalling developments of the Russian attack of Ukraine. We are facing an energetic crisis, food crisis, climate change, a social crisis we thought we had just left behind, not to mention the humanitarian horrors we witness every day in the lives and stories of the refugees we have welcomed since March 2022. All we mayors around Europe are very committed for these humanitarian emergencies. A war right in the heart of Europe necessarily forces us to rethink the concept of sustainability, hence resilience entirely, the first being the necessary path to prepare for the latter. I think what both the pandemic and the war in Ukraine are teaching us is that we need to look at resilience and sustainability as a whole, a path that we must pursue with no compromise. Sustainability is environment, but is also culture, is urban requalification and social inclusion, is healthy economy. In our case, it's also key to manage tourism. When we reach the point of exploiting even just one of these factors, the whole balance of sustainability is threatened. When I took office 8 years ago, we had to handle a very powerful yet delicate ecosystem, which consisted not only of monuments and artworks of the UNESCO area, but also of the identity, the quality of life, and the future of its citizens. Florence's environment is made of interactions and networks able to generate development and new lifestyles. It's a potential that the city has always had within itself, from the Renaissance to modern days. But with fame, you also have exposure, opportunities, but also risks. The historical center was at risk of being emptied out by citizens and being exposed to visitors who grew up to 14 million the year before the pandemic, 2019. The provisions we will analyze are just one part of a bigger strategy. I could probably summarize it in one sentence. The mission has been to give that part of the city back to residents by improving the quality of life, by recreating that sense of affection and belonging, yet staying open and friendly to visitors. Global tourism can be rebuilt in a better way if visitors feed differently, and they will behave differently only if they find a community instead of just a city, an identity instead of just display of amazing masterpieces, yet totally alienated from the life of their community. In this way, we worked on changing the touristic approach to our city, to attract more visitors and families who want to experience Florence, rather than those who want to exploit Florence for just a selfie in the main squares. I think it's much more cheap to download some pictures from your PC. Our city is a place for the development and transmission of creative ideas, processes, and habits. If we want to convey this message to others, we have to make sure our citizens are convinced of it first. Our responsibility is to provide them with the tools. To get a better sense of the complexity of Florence, I'd like to start from an overview on the city's economy. First point, to understand where we come from, here is the impact that the pandemic has had on our general economy. And after you see the comparison between 2020 and 2019, according of the Entrepreneurial Ferment Index 2021, Florence has qualified in the top five Italian cities. Final data on GDP 2021 are still to be processed within the first semester of this year. Looking at tourism in detail, you will be surprised in learning that tourism in 2019, at its peak, represented only the 11% of our GDP, which is 2.3% of Italian GDP, and in Tuscany around 14%. So the image you have of Florence is much more different from the reality. The rest of our GDP is mainly composed by manufacturing, fashion. We have the main European fashion district with many Italian fashion companies, agriculture, biochemical and pharmaceutical industry and high tech. That's because I wanted to start with the video about cultural heritage and new technologies and new company. But our narrative has some problems if all people have only a part of image and identity of Florence. Regarding overnights in recent years, we managed to increase the average stay in the city from barely one day up to 3.1 nights in 2020 and 2.8 nights in 2021. Because our challenge is not, of course, quantity of tourists, but quality of tourists. That's because we invested a lot of energies to move from one day to three days. About overnights. As far as the culture offer in the entire city, here are some data regarding cultural events and education. 444 sites and landmarks, 94 museums. I would like to tell you a short history about a mayor, a German colleague, and he wanted to joke with me, and he told me, I know that your Italian cities have a lot of soccer camps in your cities. And you, how many camps you have in Florence? And I responded to him, we have 94 museums in my city, much more than football camps. Anyway, 42 of which are in the UNESCO area. So, can you imagine the concentration of museums we have in very small land about our city? In 2021, Florence has been rated in the top five cities for quality of leisure and culture offer in Italy. What represents a turnout has been the change in the culture offer in the last years. At least 10 high-level events per year, 5 international festivals, one of which, the Estate Fiorentina, entirely produced by the City of Florence. Moreover, we strongly committed to a public art program by contaminating open spaces, squares and parks with the masterpieces of contemporary artists like Jan Fabre and Jeff Koons, Marina Abramovic and many others. But our focus was on culture. If you want to invest on quality of tourism, you have to change your offer. And if you want to change your offer, you have to invest on culture. And Florence is the first Italian city in terms of public investments for citizens. We invest each year 119 euros per person. The second city is Milano with 85 euros and Rome with 60 euros. But there is also a very important component of the Florence population that is across the visitors and the residents, students. In specific, Florence and its metropolitan area host 83 higher education and foreign university programs and institutes. For example, we have the European Institute, as you know very well, supported by European state members, and 55 of which are American programs, like Stanford University, NYU Universities, Harvard University, James Madison, etc. This means that every 4 months or 6 months, there is in Florence a turnover of about 36,000 foreign students. There is a mistake there, 16,000, but we have 36,000 foreign students. Not to mention their professors and families, which take the opportunity to travel to Europe to visit their children. And we have only less than 400,000 inhabitants. So 10% of our habitants are foreign students. There is a community inside another community. A population of young people, often at their first experience abroad. So it's a great investment for new generation. This is a big responsibility for Florence. How many young students decided to visit as a first European city, Florence? And we have the responsibility to leave a message, a value to these people. And also for this population, for a sense of responsibility to them. We improved the cultural offer and special programs with our theaters, concert halls or museums so that they could choose for a healthy fun. The area of major impact is, of course, the UNESCO area. We are talking about 500 hectares. The World City expands over a surface of 10,000 hectares with a population of 378,000 people. The sole UNESCO area suffered the impact of 14 million tourists a year, as I told you. As you can see, the density of museums, monuments, and cultural institutions is quite high. In collaboration with UNESCO, we started monitoring the area a long time ago through a management plan, a plan aimed at monitoring the relationship between development and threats specifically for the area. And this year, thanks to the support of a general director of UNESCO, we will celebrate 50 years of Paris Convention, 1972, about the worldwide cultural heritage. However, we didn't limit our regulatory activity to the just UNESCO monitoring. In order to preserve and promote a better life quality and fruition of the UNESCO area, we issued long ago a series of provisions introducing limitations and criteria for businesses and commercial activities, which is the real challenge we had in these last years. Given the observance of national and European laws, this is one of the challenges, on free market, the city acted within the range of local autonomy law making instead as allowed to be our national laws. Public health, urban maintenance, and so on. All sectors under the municipality's law making range. On January 2016, we delivered the first deliberation on urban decorum. 10 very simple rules explained in a campaign with provisions not only on public order, but also for a better quality of life for both tourists and citizens. Just to give you some examples. First, more health, less alcohol. Interdiction to sell takeaway drinks alcohol from 21 to 6. Interdiction to serve alcohol indoors for pubs, clubs, etc. after 2 a.m. Secondly, street-based behavior, less urban decay. Ban to display alcohol in shop windows and ban to use different neon signs that are inconsistent or different from the store original name. A third point is ban of a fast food, internet point, and other activities like that in all city center. I had a very big fight with an important American global company that I can't give you the name, obviously, because they in 2000, you can find on the internet this history. In 2016, they decided to open a big fast food just in Piazza Duomo, next to Brunelleschi couple and Battistero. And I used these local rules to stop this decision. And they announced from United States officially to start a strong legal war against not only municipality, but also against me personally. So I was a little bit worried for that. But at the end of history, they decided to renounce this legal battle, probably because it was not good for the image of this American company. And at the end of history, they changed the general director of Italian company of this holding. Third point for shops that sell or serve alcohol. Shop area must be no less than 14 square meters, and all shops must have access and services for people with disabilities. Between 2018 and 2020, three more cabinet deliberations are issued. First one, deliberation on protection and valorization of Florentine historic and traditional businesses. Since 2018, historic and traditional businesses can be listed, just like heritage buildings, and the three categories have been established. One is historic excellences, second is traditional activities, and the third one is historic street vendors. All businesses must have been in trades for at least 15 years. They have a special logo that people can see, and the benefit of public networks for advertising, and also a strong local fiscal facilities. And very important, they are constantly monitored. A second decision is a deliberation on the protection and the decorum of the historic center of Florence in May 2020. It set limitation for 3 years to the opening of new commercial activities in food and beverage. So no new restaurants, for example, in the historical area, and the ban to move existing activities from the outer belt into UNESCO area. And the third point is deliberation on retail and business activities in public areas, markets, etc., December 2020. It states criteria for street markets and cover all aspects. Areas available, materials for the market, stands, merchandising categories, etc. Obviously, each city has different problems. And I know that these deliberations are probably not available for the other cities. Slide enjoy respect and campaigns in order to facilitate fruition and valorization of the UNESCO area. The city has developed a series of campaigns to help visitors in understanding how enjoyable and yet frail our urban ecosystem is. Feel Florence website and app, enjoy respect campaign, and so on. And the third point is an overview on urban requalification. On the larger scale, the city has recently adopted the Smart City Plan, which also included the Volume Zero Urban Plan. But what is a Smart City Plan in our vision? What is not smart when talking about Smart City is to confine the discourse only among experts. Therefore, if we want to guidelines and consequent actions to really have an impact, we must target citizens as well as those who live the city, live the city every day or even for a few hours. As part of this Smart City Plan, Zero Volumes is a structural plan based on urban regeneration with zero volumes. Zero volumes means demolition and reconstruction in situ, or demolition, transfer and reconstruction in other sites. A balance of volumes equal to zero. This is the importance. In order to convey the new planning methods, implementation has been accompanied by a constant participation process that entailed the participation of citizens, to have citizens on board, because if you have a big challenge, you must have citizens on board. The fourth topic is about infrastructures and ICT. Information and communication technologies are a strategic element for the digital culture growth in the city. In 2021, Florence has been the first city for digital transformation in Italy. And I will be quick here because everyone expects that. Just I would like to mention we are paying special attention to digital illiteracy for those categories who may be left out, such as elderly people. Regarding public transport, from now until 2030, we will transform Florence into a national capital of electric mobility, a tourist city organized on a human scale with alternatives to use private vehicles, because mobility, as you know, is crucial for citizens and tourists as well. We have this train system with tram system, 4,000 electric vehicles already in use in the city, over 400 charging stations and so on. But about bike paths have been increased from 30 kilometers up to 104 kilometers in the last 10 years. This is also thanks to very fruitful know-how exchange with the Dutch cities, because you are benchmark for us. And also thanks to the collaboration of the Dutch embassy in Rome. So thank you again. And the last point is about the cultural spaces. So thanks to the provisions we have analyzed, a lot has been done to shape a new vision of the city of Florence. Old public buildings have been converted into social housing facilities integrated with cultural spaces for young and families. Others have been sold to private investors, but with the limitations on the percentage of usage and the provision to convert part of them to public use. Huge investments have been made also on converting old historical buildings into hubs for startup incubators to support young professionals and job market growth. This is one of the strategies that we adopted, for example, in the city center. And we have four only in the UNESCO area. All as a result of private-public partnership. To conclude, with crisis, we also get presented with opportunities. The key of tourism we want to attract is not necessarily a high-end luxury tourism, but a tourism that understands that preserving, protecting, and promoting cultural heritage is the real luxury. This is our narration. We have to share that Florence is not only Florentine city, it's a city of all humanity. And this is the responsibility that we all have, citizens and visitors. An asset that not every city has, for the reasons I mentioned at the beginning of my speech, either because of natural events or human error and horror. So it's a universal duty to respect it. In this last slide, you may see the challenge expecting us ahead. I don't know, probably we lost this last slide, anyway. For a more welcoming, climate-neutral, sustainable, and open city. We do hope this is our new renaissance and that, like the first, this may inspire cities and peoples of our time to beauty, harmony and growth. And as president of Eurocities, let me underline last sentence about how crucial is our roles, I mean mayors and cities, in this moment. Because no global targets and goals we can achieve without cities' commitment. Climate change, social inclusion, humanitarian emergencies. No goals we can reach without the commitment of local communities. Now much more than the past, Why? Because the history of Europe is especially a history of cities. And nations was born after the history of cities. This is our actual commitment, our challenge, to make a great network all together to change Europe, to give a future to our communities in tourism and many other fields that we know in our cities, because we are both tourists, all of you are tourists, and citizens. We must share the same values and the same rules. Thank you very much for this opportunity.